Acts chapter 2, just imagine with me, if we were an Acts chapter 2 church, if we submitted ourselves completely to the Word of God and His plan for the local church, His plan for Dolan Baptist Church, what would it be like? Can you imagine? Imagine with me what it would be like instead of the majority of us thinking, what can the church do for me? What can I get out of church? What if instead we thought like this? What does the New Testament church look like? What is my role? What should I be participating in? We're going to look at what Acts chapter 2 really says about the New Testament church. But before we take a good hard look at the text, I think we need to take a moment and ready ourselves to hear from the Word of God, don't you? We need to prepare our hearts to receive His message. So would you bow with me for a moment? Father in heaven, we do thank You for this opportunity. Father, I want to pause right now, Father, just to ask that You would just speak through me, that it not be my words, but Your message come forth, and if necessary, change the words from my mouth to their ears, Father, to let it be all about You. Father, that's my desire. Father, it's our desire as a group to hear from You, to hear Your message for us. So, Father, open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears as we submit to Your Word. And, Father, help us to just really intently seek You and to find out what is Your purpose for us here in this body of believers. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Imagine what Dolan Baptist would look like if we lined ourselves up with this passage from God's Word. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. There's some good stuff in there, right? Devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. What does the New Testament church look like? Well, the very most important word I think there is devoted. They devoted themselves. What does it mean to devote yourselves? I mean, they focused on it. They did it. They desired to do it. They devoted. They put all their effort into these things. And what were they? To the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Imagine if we as a church were completely devoted to these things. Also, in the following verses, verse 43 through 47, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to everyone, to anyone as he had need. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that what it's about? Adding to our number daily those who are being saved. Wow. They met together. Can you imagine? Just think with me. Kids on laps. I mean, we have some here. Kids on, isn't it great? I love it. Kids on laps, sometimes crying, sometimes making noises. And that's all right because, I mean, they were just there. Everybody was together. They were just all coming in. They were probably sitting on the floor or standing. Think about that. I mean, when I preach for like an hour and a half, y'all get tired of standing, wouldn't you? Or sitting on the floor. They were all together. They were just whatever was going. Some, you know, if it was a hot day, you had folks sitting there fanning themselves. If it was a cold day, they were all wrapped up, sharing blankets. Maybe they were sitting on the floor, dirty feet. You know, they didn't back then. They didn't have running water, so they didn't bathe. You know, every day, regularly. So yeah, can you just imagine that? What that church looked like? Yeah, but guess what? They loved it. And today, you know, it was we think of it differently today. It wasn't all about the conveniences back then. It was about learning the Word of God so they could reach their world for Christ. That was their focus. They were devoted. Somewhere we've lost it. We've become distracted, like, you know, with things like, well, if they would offer this or that, then I'd go to that place. I don't like the way they do this there. I don't think I'll go there anymore. I don't like the smell. I don't like the lights. I don't like the sound. I don't like the color red. I'm going to tell you, if you don't like the color red, you know, just close your eyes. That's it. Just close your eyes. Imagine with me if it wasn't so much about me and what I get out of church, and it was more about being passionate about coming together and seeing the lost and the desperate come and receive the hope of Jesus Christ. What if that was our passion, folks? It was their passion. Living out the church outside these walls, what would it be like if we got passionate about being this kind of church that we find in Acts chapter 2? Can you imagine? Come on, use your mouth. You've all got one. Use it. What would it be like if we, oh, man. I've got six things that I've listed of things that I think it would be like. And there are many more. Many more. But I think first and foremost, we would experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit of God has power? Do you know it? I know you know what the Bible says about it, but do you know it? Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? Do you want to see it? Do you want to experience it? There's power. And you know, that's not something I made up. We'd see God working, changing, and radically shaking up our world for His own glory. Ask yourself this question. And be honest with yourself. Don't shout it out loud. Ask yourself to yourself. How much reliance do I have in every area of my life on the Holy Spirit? Be honest with yourself, because no one can hear you except God, and the truth is, He already knows. How much reliance do you have on the Holy Spirit in every part of your life? The truth is this. Much of what the church, and I'm speaking church in general, Christianity, most of what the church is doing today, and the reason the church is without effective power, is because we're doing it in our own strength and not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. It's very clear. Jesus, the words of Jesus Himself, said to His disciples, He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Do you think He meant it? Do you think He meant it? Sure He did. You will receive power. We have power if we know Christ. If you're a Christian, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you're not average. Do you know that? There are no average Christians. If you're a Christian, you're above average. So stop living average lives, we need to tell ourselves. Receive the power. Now you ask, power for what? What's the power for? Well, He tells it. Is it to attend church regularly? I have the power of the Holy Spirit to come to church on Sundays. Even Sunday night and Wednesdays too. It's not what He's talking about. It's not what the power is for. The power was this, to be My witnesses. To share what Jesus Christ has done in your life. That's what the power is for. The power is to accomplish His work, not yours, not mine. Not our work. The power is to accomplish the work that Christ has got for us to do. I'm reading this book, and it's called Radical by David Platt. It says, Taking Back Your Faith from the American Dream. And as I was reading this week, this really struck me, and I want to just read it to you. This guy's a pastor, and he writes here, he says, "When I was considering becoming the pastor of the faith family I now lead, I thought and even said to other people, this church has so many resources, so many gifts, so many talents, so many leaders, and such money. If this church could get behind a global purpose, it could shake the nations for the glory of God. I have since discovered that this was a woefully wrong-headed way to think. The reality is that it doesn't matter how many resources the church has. The church I lead could have all the man-made resources that one could imagine, but apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, such a church will do nothing of significance for the glory of God." Do you believe that? I believe that. He says, "In fact, I believe the opposite is true. The church I lead could have the least gifted people, the least talented people, the fewest leaders, and the least money, and this church, under the power of the Holy Spirit, could still shake the nations for His glory. The reality is that the church I lead can accomplish more during the next month in the power of God's Spirit than we can in the next 100 years apart from His provision. His power is so superior to ours, why do we not desperately seek it?" The power in the Spirit. And if we were a true Acts chapter 2 type of church, we would experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God in all that we do. Number two, we would have and live in full fellowship. Verse 42 said they devoted themselves to the teaching and to fellowship. Now, y'all know how I like fellowship, right? And it used to be, before I started trimming down, and some of you don't know that I used to be big. I'm not big anymore. But my favorite part of fellowship was because, you know, Baptist, we get together with somebody bringing something to eat. And I love fellowship. Now, food has taken a back seat in my life, which is a big change for me. But the fellowship, just last night, listening and hearing people just laugh, have a good time, have fun, and it was clean, semi. You know, what happens at the party stays at the party. Okay, I'll say that. But no, it was a good time. It was great. There was great fellowship. It was a koinonia type fellowship. That's a Greek word that means that close, intimate type of fellowship that we experienced and enjoyed last night. And that's not the only time. I mean, this church does fellowship. Okay, I mean, you do, and you do a really good job at it, and you love it. And that's what we're talking about. So that's one thing that we're doing well. But it says here, they built relationships with people who are passionate about the same things. Did you know that we do that today? We build relationships with people who are passionate about the same things we're passionate about. They were passionate about living in the power of the Holy Spirit and seeing lives transformed. That's what brought them together. That's why they would come together and sit in a hot, dusty environment or a cold environment, whatever the season was. They would come and put up with all kinds of discomfort because they were passionate. You're going to hear me use that word a lot, passionate. They were passionate about seeing lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that we do that today? We will associate with people who have the same passions as us. If you're passionate about God's Word, you want to associate with others who are also passionate about God's Word. If you're casual towards sin, though, guess what? That's an uncomfortable situation. So if you're casual towards sin, you want to associate, you want to hang with other people who are also casual towards sin. That way you're not judged. That way we're not thought down, you know, looked down upon or thought less of because we're in like company. We do that. We group up with people who are passionate about the same things we're passionate about. They were also, when they met, they were about breaking bread and prayer. They ate together. They broke bread together. They ate together. They See, this is not a Baptist thing. This is right out of the book of Acts. When they fellowshiped, they broke bread, they ate. So it's a good thing. But they were also about prayer. How many of you believe there's power in prayer? Amen. Amen. Number three, we be passionate about community. Verses 46 and 47 said this. Every day. How many days? Good. Y'all were listening. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts or at church. They'd go to church every day. They broke bread where? In their homes. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were experiencing some exponential growth. How were they doing it? Right there. They were meeting together every day. They go to the church every day, in people's homes every day. They hung out with one another. They learned, they studied, they read, they prayed. They were together, and they were passionate about seeing people's lives changed. Where are we today? We'd be passionate about community. That's what community is. I mean, they hung together. They were with one another. They wanted to be together. They came to church every day. They just couldn't hardly stand to be away. And when they weren't at church, they're like, well, we still want to be together. Let's go to your house. Let's go to my house. Let's pray. That's what they did. Did you know that you know somebody that won't come to church, but they'll come to your house? Did you know that? Think about it. You may know somebody that won't come to church, but they will come to your house. Guess what? They had church at the church. They had church at the house. They had church walking down the road. They had church wherever they were going because they were the church. Guess what? We're the same. We are the church, not the building. The building is the place where we choose to gather for corporate worship, but the building is not the church, folks. You and I are the church. We'll be passionate about community. Number four, we would magnify God's vision. We would make it known. We'd project God's vision. Everyone would see God's vision in and through us. Is God's vision visible in my life? Ask yourself that. Is God's vision visible in my life? In my school, in my work, in my play, at church, is God's, I hope God's vision is visible in you at church. What about at home? Is God's vision visible in all of us, wherever we are? Do my friends see it? Do my kids see it? Do my coworkers see it? Does my spouse see it? As a group, is God's vision evident in our church? There's a passage in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus, before he talked about his death, he said this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. King James says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You are the church. The very gates of hell will not stand when the church gets busy. Did you know that? Let me ask you a question. The gates of hell. What's a gate used for? Well, you need to keep something out or keep something in, right? How many times do you hear about somebody taking a gate into battle? You know, we hear about people taking, back then they had swords and shields and whatever, spears or whatever. Today they take, M16s, machine guns or M4s or whatever, and M60s, and mount them on a big truck and they drive through and they take cannons. And they take all this military offensive weapons. But how many times do you see people charging with a line of gates? You don't. You don't hear about that. You know why? Because gates are a defensive mechanism. Gates are what you put at the door to the castle so nobody can get in. You keep it. You keep people in. You know, prisons have gates, keep people in. They're to keep people in or out. That's what the gates are for. Gates are not an offensive weapon. So it doesn't tell us that Satan's attacking us with gates. What it's saying is the power of church, mobilized by the power of the Holy Spirit, can attack, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what it's saying. We're not on the defense, folks. As Christians, we are offensive. I love offense. That's when you score touchdowns. What is God's vision for the church? Do you know? Do you know what God's vision is for the church in general? Here it is. To storm the gates of hell and snatch the last, the least, and the lost from the power of Satan's grasp. The gates of hell will not stand against the church that is passionate about God's vision. Folks, there are some in our community, in our families, in our friends' circle of friendships, our co-workers, that are entrapped within those gates right now. Satan's got a grasp on them. The Bible tells me that those gates will not prevail against the power of the Holy Spirit mobilized in you and I. We ought to go preach that gospel, live it out in front of them, present the gospel to them so they can be snatched from the gates of hell. That's the church's mission. That's what God's vision is for us to be. Go ye therefore, what? To go fellowship? No. Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. That should be our vision. That was number four. If we would really want to be an Acts chapter 2 kind of church, we would magnify God's vision. We would project that. We would live that out every day of our lives. Number five. I told you I had 6 points, so we're getting close. Number five. If we wanted to be a real Acts 2 kind of church, we'd pray. We would pray. It says that they devoted themselves to these things. And prayer was one of those. I want to ask you a question. I know that I'm asking some very pointed questions today. But again, before I can even ask you these questions, I've had to ask myself these questions. Count up the minutes you spent in prayer last week. I'm not talking about like before we sit down to breakfast or lunch or supper and we thank God for the food. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when we wake up and we don't feel good and we say, oh, Lord, help me. Help me get out of bed. Driving down the road and we think, oh, Lord, help me not lose my patience in this traffic. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about a concentrated time of prayer, seeking God's face. Add them up. Add up those minutes. Come, get a number in your head. And then ask yourself, what would it take for me to add 5 minutes to that this week? What would it take to add 5 minutes of my time in concentrated prayer, seeking God's face this next week? What would it take? Is it a big sacrifice? Will we really have to cut something down? I'm talking about 5 minutes, folks. What would it take to add 5 minutes of concentrated prayer in our lives this week? Verse 42 says they devoted themselves to prayer. Are we devoted? I mean, we believe in the power of prayer. I asked it and you said yes. I believe in the power of prayer. Why don't we use it? Why don't we invoke that? Why don't we believe that? Why don't we devote ourselves to prayer? Number six. We'd have godlike generosity. Did you notice how they acted? It said they were together, had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone who had need. And then a little bit further, in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 that said, it says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions as his own, but they shared everything they had. If we wanted to truly be an Acts chapter 2 type of church, we would have God-like generosity. They shared everything they had. I'm going to give you some statistics here. Did you know that across the board, just kind of average in churches across the world, about 20% of the church attendees give to the church? It's not a sermon on tithing, but it's factual here. It says about 20% of the in any given church, about 20% of the people are actually active givers in the church. And of that 20%, really there's only about 6% that are actual tithers that give a tithe, a biblical tithe to the church. So with that in mind, can you imagine? Remember, we're talking about imagining. So imagine with me. Can you imagine what the church could do if it had resources of the other 80%? I'm not talking about buildings or pay or anything like that. I'm talking about ministry to reach the lost, the hurting in our area. If you look at the churches around and see, you know, I mean, they have, look at us. Look at us, for example. We have this building. You know, we have the nice gym out there, the Family Life Center. We have these other buildings, the Children's Center, the Smith Building. You know, we have this facility. It's a nice facility. What's it for? Is it for us to come together and have just a real good time and a kind of like a social club? We come together. Is that what the church is for and what church is about? No. The church is about providing ministries to reach. Remember the vision? Remember the vision? To go out, storm the gates of hell, and snatch those who are in Satan's grasp. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about ministry, to go out and reach the least, the last, and the lost. Number 7. I hear you laughing. I told you there were 6 points, right? 6.5. If we were really an Acts chapter 2 type of church, we would do this. We'd mobilize all of our members into ministry. Guess what? That's all of us. Every one of us. We'd be mobilized to ministry. I mean, when they met together, they took care of stuff. And with something needed to be done, they did it. For us, what would that look like? Well, we have areas where people can get involved in ministry. We have Sunday school. We have children's church. Right now, our kids are out there. They need workers out there. They need we can use guys at the soundboard. We've got all of our regular sound and video guys are out today. We've got, I mean, Ruben's back there. He's what, third Sunday? Second Sunday, and he's back there running the video for us today. That's what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about stepping up, filling in these areas. We'd all be mobilized to ministry. Greeters. We'd have somebody that wanted to say, you know what, I just feel like it's my job just to say hi to folks. Let me just stand around and say hi to folks when they come in the door. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe somebody would be mobilized to say, you know what, I want to start a Bible study in my home. I want to start a Bible study in my home. Who would come? We're going to have a Bible study in my home on this night. Or maybe for some retired folks, we're going to have a Bible study, you know, right before lunch in my home on this day, and then we're going to have, you know, soup and crackers or whatever. That's a ministry. And guess what? Each one of us would be mobilized to step up and do something, to provide something that reaches or teaches. What if it happened today? What if it happened today? Now, you've heard me use the word passionate many times today. We'd be passionate about this. We'd be passionate about that. We'd be passionate about seeing God's vision. Passionate. What would it take for all of us to become passionate about the things of God? Why am I using the word passionate? Let me ask you this. Is God passionate about you? Absolutely. He's not casual towards you, is he? What? Could you imagine God saying something like this? Well, I guess you can come if you want to. Makes no difference to me, really. Could you imagine if God was like that? No. God is passionate about you. He's not casual towards you. He's passionate about you. He's so passionate about you, he said, you know what? That dude is a sinner. And he's going to go to hell unless I do something because he can't get here on his own. So he came. Jesus Christ came. God in the flesh came, lived and dwelt amongst us. He lived a perfect, sinless life and was crucified because he claimed to be God. Fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. Becoming that sacrifice because the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's through Jesus Christ. That is the most important decision that you and I will ever make. And that's something to be passionate about. That Jesus Christ came, gave of himself, not for himself, but for you and for me. He did that because he was passionate about you. Should we not be passionate about God? We should be passionate about God. What does passionate look like? Well, we just read about it. This church in Acts chapter 2 was passionate about God. It was their life. It was what they did. They couldn't stand to be away from other folks who were also passionate about God. They hung out together. They ate together. They prayed together. They stayed at each other's houses whenever there was time. But I mean, every day they went to church together. I'll open these doors every single day. I don't have a problem doing that. I'd love to do that. Maybe God's called you to start a Bible study and you don't want to have it in the home. You can have it right here. Have it in my office. I'll join you. Be great. Wouldn't that be awesome? Can you just imagine what would happen to Dolan Baptist Church if we got passionate? Can you imagine what would happen to this area out here, this Dolan community? You know, Rayburn and Romare, wherever, Cleveland, Shepherd. Can you imagine what would happen if we got passionate like they were passionate in Acts chapter 2? Now, I'm not sure if you're here this morning because I see you. But I'm not sure if you're here this morning looking for something. I'm not sure if you came expecting something. I'm not sure if you came this morning expecting to hear a message from God. It's my hope and my prayer that you have. I hope you haven't just heard me rambling. I hope and pray that you've heard from the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Maybe he's asked you some pointed questions himself. Maybe he's asked you, why aren't you involved? Maybe he's asked you, why aren't you doing more? There's somebody that depends on you. I'm ready to work through you to reach someone for Christ. Maybe he's saying that to you. Maybe he's asking you, would you mobilize? Would you get up? Would you understand the power that I've given you? Would you allow that to be real in your life? Maybe he's talking to you this morning and he's saying this, I have power that's waiting for you. If you'll come to me, I want to save you. Let me show you my biggest power. Let me show you that I have power over sin and I can give you salvation. I can redeem you from the grasp of the devil. Maybe he's saying that to you. And he says, you know what? Then I'll give you the power and you can do something for me. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's saying to you, you need to be saved. Maybe he's saying to you, you went through some motions, but you never let it take root. It didn't come from your heart. It was just actions. Maybe he's saying that to you. I don't know what the Spirit is saying to you today, but I will tell you this. If he's speaking to you, you need to respond. You need to respond. I don't need you to respond, but you need to respond. It's not about me. It's about you and your relationship with Christ. First and foremost, do you have one? If you have one, what's it like? Is it like what we read about? Are we devoted in all those things in our life? The truth of the matter is, you know, we're all on a process. We're all on somewhere between here and there. If we've begun that process, then we need to continue to increase our devotion to where it becomes a passion in our lives. Are you passionate? I pray that you are. And if you're not, I pray that you take these words and say, this is the day that I start a brand new life. This is the day that I'm going to mark it down on my calendar, because this is the day that I choose to be passionate about Christ. Where are you? We have prayer benches in front of the church here. You're welcome to come and kneel in prayer. Just get personal between you and God. I'll be here if you want to talk to me or want me to pray with you, or you want to ask something of me. I'll be glad to be here. I'll stand right here. But don't feel bad if you want to come and pray. You can walk right past me. I won't be offended one bit, because it's not about me. This is your invitation to respond to the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand as we sing?